Another thing I'd like you to pray about is the police departments across our nation. The same happened in Dallas, and you know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. How many of you had bad experience with policemen? Anybody in here? Yeah, sometimes. I know when I was growing up, it's because I was a bad boy. How you know what I mean? And I had a bad experience with some policemen. But ever since I've been born again, the Word of God tells me to pray for them. Amen? Those that are in authority over us. Hallelujah. And as a matter of fact, I feel a real need to read those scriptures. But how many like getting pulled over by the police? Come on, man. It's a good time. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody been pulled over lately? Yeah. Where's my wife? She's always getting... No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell her I said that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember going up to my house one evening, and there was a car right up... I live in Elephant Head, and right up towards the end, the road goes across the river, and then going up, you're going east, sort of. And going east, and then right towards the end, it rises on a little hill, and then it makes a 90-degree turn, turning north. And when I was driving home one evening, there was a car sitting up there, and the headlights were on that little hill. So when I come up to make that turn, I could not see because those headlights were right there in my face. So I couldn't see. So I. You know, I kind of went real slow around that curve, and I didn't know that I had just taken the inside lane, gone in the other lane, and went on. Well, he came, it was a policeman, and he came and pulled me over. And he says, "Sir, have you been drinking?" I said, "No, I haven't." And he goes, "Hey, he goes, the way you made that turn," he goes, "I can't believe you made it that way." And he was had this kind of an attitude. How many of you guys ever had a policeman that pulled you over had an attitude? He had this little attitude, and then I told him, "Well, your headlights were on, and you blinded me. I couldn't see." And I saw him stop, and he goes, "I'm sorry." It just come out of him just that quick. He goes, "I realize now that I did have my headlights on." And, you know, and I said, "Well, I'm glad you stopped me." I said, "Let me pray for you." I said, "I'm a youth pastor at the church here in Green Valley." And he goes, "Okay." So I got out, and then I laid my hands on him. I began to pray. And while I was praying, he began to weep. And I go, "You okay?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I just appreciate the prayer." Hallelujah. And so ever since then, if guys will pull me over, even if they write me a ticket, amen? Even if I get a ticket, I'm going to ask that officer to let me pray for you. And it's funny, you know, this thing that happened in Dallas, man, I'll tell you what. You know, folks, you know, there's an old saying that goes, you know, one bad apple, how's it go? Doesn't spoil the whole bunch. Yeah, Michael Jackson used to sing something like that. Can somebody do that for us? One bad apple. Hey, one bad apple doesn't spoil the whole bunch. I mean, you know what? There's a lot of officers out there that are incredible men of God and men, you know. And you know what? And I thank God for them because they are officers of peace. I do a lot of walking, and I love walking around the areas. God has told me, he said, "I want you to walk over this area around these apartment complexes." What I call the education and the government corridor is the one is Sarita right there in front. And I'll walk that highway. One day there was an officer sitting along the side of the road, you know, with his radar gun and everything, you know. And I walked by him, and as I walked by him, the Lord told me, he said, "You can pray for him too." See, because I made that commitment in my heart. Every time they pull me over, they're going to pray. Well, he didn't pull me over, but I stopped. I said, "Yeah, okay." So I turned around, and I looked, and he was looking at me. And while I was walking towards him, I saw him rolling down his window. And his name was Matt. I said, "Matt, can I pray for you?" He said, "Yeah." I didn't tell him who I was, just said, "I just want to pray for you." And as I prayed, out of my spirit came these words about a mighty man of peace. These are peace officers, amen? They are peace officers. That's what they're called to. And folks, I'm going to tell you that they have one job, that they have a job that is not like, it's not like going to the office, amen? It's for the peace of the people they serve. this morning as I was walking around, and it's funny because I knew I was going to talk about this morning. I knew it was going to, because it was so heavy on my heart. And I'm walking around this apartment complex, and I don't know, some of you might have come early, might have seen this a police car sitting up there on the corner. And as I was walking through, I had to stop and think, because there was a large African-American policeman standing out in front of a apartment complex. And another officer was walking up the road. They had their cars parked and looked like positioned. And I was walking through there, and the big guy looks at me. He says, "Hey, you're dressed up going somewhere." And I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor of the church right here." And he looked at me, and he turned from a smile to this serious, "I need something," look. And he put his hand out to me, and he goes, "Pray for us, sir." And it hit me like an arrow, right? I didn't even get his name, but the other officer walked up, and I said, "Hey, I know you guys are getting ready to do something, you know, I don't know what they're doing." But I said, "Look, brothers," I said, "let me just say, Lord, bless these men with peace." And when they walked, and they walked to go in the building, I could barely walk. It was so, so heavy. Let me read this to you. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whosoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to the good, to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." And verse 4 says, "For he is God's minister to you for good." Do you hear that? "But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is," thank you, "he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake." These are ministers to us, friends. Yeah, I'm a minister. But those guys in those police cars, they are ministers. Amen. Do you hear me? They deserve honor. They deserve respect. They deserve our prayers and our love. And folks, can I say, as a body, can we do something for our police department, our fire department? Can we do something for these servants? Do you think we can do something? I know we can. I don't know what to do yet, but I know that we can make them feel loved, make them feel appreciated, and make them feel honored. So I'm going to ask this church, every time you see a policeman, maybe in uniform, maybe in Safeway or something, walk over and shake their hand. Tell them you appreciate them. Will you do that? I can't imagine what those families are going through, plus the family of the gunman. But I know that there's only one answer, and his name is Jesus. And folks, how many of you know that our nation... Our nation is, hurting. It's sick. It needs something. The only thing it needs is Jesus. And it's up to us, folks. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people," how many raise your hand if you're God's people? He says, "My people, if they humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Let me just say this to you. It's up to us. There is no, it's spiritual battles. It's a spiritual battle over America. Spiritual battles are fought spiritually. And friends, who's the only, the world don't know how to fight a spiritual battle. Would you say amen to that? They don't know how to do that. The only ones that know are those that know their position in Christ. Do you know that? So it's up to us, folks. Ooh, hallelujah. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to pray. Take the initiative to walk in your neighborhood and pray over the houses in your neighborhood. Pray for peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Because it's on us, folks. We are the effectual. Element that's in America today. Amen? Amen. I'm sorry I got you off. I had to get this thing off. Is that okay? Hey, folks, listen. God is saying some stuff to us. There's a way he wants us to act. Amen? Hallelujah. Men and women of God. Powerful. You got to know who you are. Amen? Powerful. You got to know your position that's been paid for by Jesus Christ. His blood has positioned you in a place. Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. And he says, subdue the earth, take dominion in it. And folks, it's out of our mouths where we say, no, these things can't come into our city. These things can't come down our streets, into our alleys, behind our houses. Those that have things that are contrary to God, get saved or get out. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it. Praise God. Okay, hey, praise the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to share that with you this morning. I'm telling you, I love these guys, and I'm after them to be blessed in the land. Amen. Praise God. I'm gonna open the word with you this morning, let you look at some scriptures. Today's message, thank you, Mijo. Today's message is moving the enemy. How many of you guys know we are to move the enemy? And that enemy is a soul, are the lost, moving the lost. How do we move the lost? Does anybody know how you're going to move the lost? Move them where? Where are you going to move them to? Hey, there's only one way to move them. We're going to learn that today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you will, open your Bibles to, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. Praise God. I'm excited about the VBS this weekend. Amen. Praise God. Be praying for the teachers, for the adults. Hallelujah. It might be kind of wild. It's our first time to have a VBS in this church, and I'm excited. I think it's going to go great. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on, man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 8. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives, Father. Father, would you speak clearly to us about what you would have us to do in the world today, God? We thank you for it. We praise you for it. And as we open your word, Lord, speak into our hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray, if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Know that Jesus is the Holy Spirit is here. How many sense the Holy Spirit? He's here in the building, and he's here to minister to you. A lot of times you're going to hear things that you haven't heard before. Sometimes you're going to hear the Holy Spirit talking to you, even during the service. You're going to have that something going on with you. And I just want you to know, be comfortable with that, because God is touching you where you're at. How many of you know we're all in different places? Is that right? We're all in different areas. We're looking at things that are, you know, some are hurting, some aren't. Some are happy, some are rejoicing. Some just got a, you know, like $1 million job or whatever, man. But some are just, so we're all in different positions and places. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will speak to your heart. It's not so much Henry. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. And we give him all the praise and the glory and the honor for that. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's start. Starting at verse 8, it says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servant, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God said to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. The man of God is Elisha in this case. And the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. Amen. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Maybe it's more like, ah! Oh my God! Oh, my master, what are we going to do? Hallelujah. And so he answered and said, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. Praise God, amen? Come on, man. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Praise God. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they came to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. Praise God. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? And he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he said to them, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Amen? So we say amen to that. Amen. You don't want to mess with a man of God. Is that right? You know, I like the fact that the king of Syria was when he was saying, hey, these are our plans. We're going to go ahead and we're going to camp down here. We'll send some, well, I don't know, we'll send some archers down there and some horsemen and some chariots, and we're going to attack Israel. Or we're going to ambush Israel. But Israel wouldn't show up for the battle, amen, because they knew. Because Elisha the prophet was speaking to them and telling them, hey, they're going to be over here. Don't go down there. So the Bible says that he did that two or three times with them. He helped them. Isn't it good that the man of God was watching over Israel? Is that right? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We need to be watchers over our nation. Is that right? I believe that God could even speak to us about things going on that around us. Do you believe that? Yes. Because how many know God knows? Do you remember when the young lady here in Tucson was abducted, and it was, I can't remember her name, but I know there's people wearing T-shirts and everything. They're trying to find her. You know what? They actually went to psychics. Do you remember that? No. They went to psychics to see if they could. You know who the world should be going to at that time? They should be coming to the church. Could it be that we might not be doing what we're supposed to be doing? Could it be? Because here's Elijah, a man that the Bible talks about how he prays, and he's hearing God. He's hearing God say, hey, tell them that they're going to attack over here. The king's servant told him, he hears things that you're saying in your bedchamber. The king goes, what? What? That's cool, huh? Folks, we have a God that loves to speak to our hearts. Do you know that? Are we taking advantage of that? Are we? Is it something that's in our heart and our life that we say, you know what, I want to hear, God, I want to hear what you have to say about this. I want you to look at a scripture. It's Luke chapter 12, verse 39. And I'm going to read it off the board with you. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Jesus was talking, and he says, do you not know? He says, know this. Know this. Know it. That if you're watching, you're going to know when that thief comes to mess up your house. Do you know that? Do you realize that? That's what God is saying. He says, get ready. He says, if you watch, what's this watch mean? It means, you know what? Watch with God. Jesus told the disciples, could you not watch with me just 1 hour? 1 hour. That's, you know what that word is? It's pray. Talk to God. Speak to God. Hallelujah. And see what God has to say. The other day, last Thursday, myself and Pastor Tim Olaf and Tommy Garcia, we went on a prayer walk on that corridor that I was telling you about, the education and the governmental corridor right here on Sarita Road. And we walked around those buildings, and we kneeled in front of some of the buildings. I mean, I want to tell you what, I hadn't kneeled before. I walked around them, but I hadn't kneeled before. And I'm going to tell you what, Matt, I got blessed. God was speaking things to this city. And I'm going to tell you, folks, God is doing something in this city. God is moving upon his people to do what he's called them to do. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to say this to you. Find a place to watch. Find a lookout place in the spirit. Jesus says it this way, enter in your closet. Hallelujah. And he that sees in secret, in that secret place, he will reward you openly. You know what I believe? You know what I love about God? I love it when he speaks something. I love it when his word hits me. That's a reward to me. How do you know that? Amen. I'd rather hear God's word than anything else. I can read the word of God all day long, but all of a sudden when he speaks to my heart, something drops in there and it changes things, and I got a new perspective. I've got a, oh my goodness, I get all fired up, you know, hallelujah. Drive my kids crazy for a week. Hallelujah. Tell them stuff. You know what? I'll tell you. Be watchmen over your house, your children, your family, your city, your state, your country. Come on, man. That's what God's calling us, man. That's what Elisha was. That's what he did. Praise God. And God would speak things to him, and he would help the nation. Hallelujah. Verse 15 and 16 of this, he says this. The king of Syria had sent horses and horsemen and chariots down there to go get Elisha. Do you know that? That's when, a lot of times when we're listening to what God has to say, people actually will, it will seem like they're against us. How many of you know that? When you begin to hear what God's saying, you begin to share a few things with folks, people will look at you and say, you know what? You're kind of nuts, man. You know what? Is that okay? Yeah. You know what? I don't know about you, man. They'll talk about you. They might not say good things about you, amen? But that, how many of you know that's okay? Yes. And this, sometimes they want to get you. Is that right? I don't want to just get you. And you know, and that's what this king of Syria, tell me where he is, he tells his guys, so I can go get him. Amen? And so he sends his men. He finds out where he's at. He's in Dothan. And he sends his men to go get him. Sends him down there. And while he's down there, Elisha's servant comes out, and he sees this massive army that has surrounded their city. Come on. And he goes, oh, man. Not good. Amen. This is not going to work. He goes, Elisha, don't you think it's time to run? Don't you think it's time that we just kind of leave the city? Folks, you know what? Sometimes when the enemy shows up in your doorstep, hey, man, it's time to put on who you are. Yeah, what can I do for you? Amen. Come on. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know, you hear what I'm saying? When the enemy comes against you, the Word of God says, like a flood, he will rise up against them. Is that right? God will speak to the enemy for you if you position yourself without fear. Is that okay? Is that all right? So check this out. What are we going to do, Elisha? What are we going to do? What shall we do? He says in verse 15, verse 16. So he answered, do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are against them. How many of you know that God is for you?
Yes.
How many of you know that God is for you? Yes. How many of you know that God's for you?
Amen.
He's not against you. He's for you. Hallelujah. Things that happen to you, when they're happening, be careful that fear doesn't interrupt what God's trying to say to you. Is that right? Be careful with that. When somebody slaps you on one side of your face, what do? Turn and let them have the other. Is that what the Word of God tells us to do? Yeah, if somebody wants to take your car, what do? Give them the other. Do you got two cars? No, man. No, I'm serious. But what does the Word of God tell us to do in those situations? Actually, it says, praise Him. When those things begin to happen to you, give Him praise. You give Him glory and you give Him honor. Amen? Praise God. Does that sound crazy? It does. Do you think that this young man thought Elisha was crazy? Don't be afraid. There's more with us than there are with them. Elijah's servant probably said, looks around. Just me and him. Bro, you're crazy. Amen? But Elijah, you know, do you notice that there's a word in there? It says that young man. Does he see that in the scriptures on that? It says the young man. Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of this young man so he might see. You know, there's something to be said about growing up in the things of God. There's something to be said about the things that you go through, the trials you go through, the hard things and the good things that you go through. There's something to be said about that. You'll learn something, that God has been with me every time, no matter what it is, God's always with me. And so the fact of the matter is, Elijah says, man, Lord, open his eyes. And what I love about a man of God that prays and stays in contact with God, or a woman of God, I mean, what I love about it is when you are in contact with God, God, you ask Him and He says, I will answer you. Elisha said, God, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes. And all of a sudden, he could see all the angels, the chariots of fire that were all around Elisha in his house. Amen? Imagine that. Servant got a little, whoa, yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, come on, guys. Let's see what you got. You know what? Amen? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Folks, don't you know that God surrounds and encamps around you because you love Him, because you call upon Him, because you trust Him? Hallelujah. I'm going to bring a verse, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. The Word of God says that He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because He, what? Trusts in you. Yeah. Do you trust God?
Amen.
Michael, do you trust God? Come on, man. Dorothy, do you trust God?
Yes.
Austin, do you trust God? Jeff, do you trust God? Come on, man. Diana, do you trust God? I'm going to tell you, I trust Him. I trust Him. I've learned to trust Him in the good times, and I've learned to trust Him in those bad times. And I trust God, and God will keep you in perfect peace. That's what the Word of God says. That's a word to somebody in here. I can feel it. He will keep you in perfect peace because you trust Him. Because you trust Him. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Elijah trusted his God. I trust you, God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Maybe he didn't know that scripture because I don't know. Isaiah hadn't written it yet, maybe. But he says, no weapon formed against us. I mean, you know that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Is that what the Word of God says? You can trust God. Hallelujah. So God opens the eyes of these guys, and and opens the eyes of the servant. And then Elijah prays again, and he says, Lord, to the enemy, Lord, would you close their eyes? God is an eye opener and an eye closer. Amen? Amen. And the word of God says that these guys, their eyes were blinded, just as Elijah prayed. And I like what Elijah does. He takes advantage of the moment. He goes, hey, guys. They're going, man, you know, I can't see. Can you imagine this army going, we can't see. I can't see. General, I can't see. And he goes, hey, guys, this ain't the city. And the man you're looking for is somewhere else. Let me take you there. I love it, man. Here he is, not a general, not a captain, he's not a Marine. He's a man of God. He's a man of God. He says, let me take you to where you need to go. Let me just show you something. And these guys, man, they got no choice but to be led by Elijah and possibly whoever else was with him, Gehazi. I'm not sure who the servant was, but whoever that servant was, and maybe possibly these chariots of fire and gods. But he led that group of men and chariots and horses from Dothan, where they were at, down to Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Israel at the time. The nation of Israel, or God's people, were split into two. They had two kings, Judah and Israel. Judah's capital was Jerusalem. Israel's capital was Samaria. Samaria was about 12 miles south of Dothan, 12 miles. Anybody like to walk? Nobody likes to walk. I like to walk. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Come on. Come on. You guys like to walk. You get up and you walk out. Come on. No, seriously. Do you like to walk? How far can people walk in an hour? Does anybody know?
4 miles.
4 miles. Is that right? Is that about what it is? Actually, 4 miles. You know, my wife loves to walk. How many know that? She is a walker. She likes to hike and she likes to walk. You know, I'll tell you a story. One day, we come out of our house at about 5:30 in the evening with a water bottle each. And we said, let's go for a little walk. Okay, cool, man. Let's walk, because I know she likes to walk. So usually we'll walk up the road, Hawkway, and then back down to the house. But for some reason, instead of going up Hawkway, we went straight across. And I go, where are we going? I'm asking her, because I don't know. I said, Rosie, where are we headed? She goes, oh, there's a trail down here. We go. I said, okay. You've been here before? She goes, yeah. Okay. So I'm like, oh, here I am. We're walking. And we go down a little mountain and up a little mountain and then down about halfway down this next mountain, and there's a trail coming. It's running along kind of the ledge of that last mountain. And I'm looking and I said, man, I said, you've been here? She goes, yeah, this road will take us up to the gate up by Elephant Head up there. I said, okay, cool. You know where we're at, right? She goes, yeah. I said, how long does it take? Oh, it doesn't take very long. Okay. So we're walking. And we're walking. This is 5:30 in the evening. It's about this time of year. It's 5:30 in the evening. We're walking. And I started noticing my shadow. I don't have my shadow here. Anyway, it started getting longer. The sun was starting to come down. And we still hadn't gotten to that gate yet. And Rosie, when was the last time you went through here? She goes, well, Sally and I went. And Sally's got horses. And I told her, you were with Sally on the horse here? She goes, yeah. Did you run the horses? She goes, how many know horses can cover a lot of ground? I'm going to tell you what. I said, Rosie, and you know, it was dark. We had walked a long way. I'm thinking, we're going to get caught by nighttime here somewhere. I said, we either go back now or up by the gate. Go towards the gate, because I knew where the gate was. Once I got to that gate, I knew exactly where I was at. And I was, it was still another maybe 2.5 miles to get back down to my house. So I'm going, oh, my God, Rosie, what you got us into? We got one bottle of water. We got about a little bit left. I don't know why I should. I don't even know why I started telling you this story. But let me tell you something. 8:30 at night and it was dark. We're walking down the road. And my wife's going, I'm getting cramps. Hey, you better be quiet. You got to walk. We're walking tonight. We got all the way home. And man, I'll tell you what, it really, there was one point in there where we're walking along this ledge. And, you know, you never know if there's illegals out there. You know what I'm saying? And we could hear people talking. And I go, hey, Rosie, I said, look. I said, they're going to hit here. You could hear them coming up because there was kind of a ravine in there. And we could hear them come. And I said, I don't know if these are people that are friendly or what, but they don't know if I'm carrying a knife or a gun. They don't know, and I don't know what they've got. So just stay calm, whatever comes up whenever we run into them, because we could hear them. I said, they won't know that all I have is a half-empty water bottle. So all of a sudden, this dog jumps up on the trail. Hey, it's a dog, and it had call. It had license and everything. Oh, it's somebody. And then two guys come up there, and they go, where are you guys headed? I said, we're headed for the gate. He goes, looks at his clock. He goes, man, you better hurry. It's going to be dark soon. The gate's still a ways off. That's all I needed to know. So we're walking very fast. And I did look it up, Brother Mike. Here's what I looked up. It says that, where was it? How many miles per hour can a man or a person walk? Average for a healthy person, approximately 1 mile in 15 minutes. Is that right? Approximately 4 hours. Someone that walks fast can get up to 5 miles an hour. Is that all right? We walked for 3 hours. I don't know. And there at the end, we were trying to walk fast. So I'm thinking maybe we walked about 12 miles. And I was expecting just a short little walk up the thing and then back down. My wife, she's crazy. But don't tell her I talked about it. But I'm thinking that it was about 12 miles from Dothan to Samaria. It was in that neighborhood. So it probably took them about 3 hours to get down there. And when they get into, I like it, when they get into Samaria, the king of Israel comes out of his palace or his house, whatever he is, and he sees this massive army, and they're all blind. And the king of Israel says, Elisha, shall we kill him? Hallelujah. And folks, whether you get this or not, this is where I'm getting this part of the name of the title of this, Moving the Enemy. When he got in there, he says, shall we kill them? And he said, no. He told them, you know what you do? You feed them. Feed these guys. So the king threw a banquet on for them, fed them. They ate, they drank. And the Bible says that when they left, they never came back again. Is that the way to treat an enemy? It is. It is. Folks, do you remember Elijah? Elijah, they sent an army to Elijah, and when they got to him, they sent 50 men to go pick him up. And when they got to Elijah, the Lord said, Lord, take care of him for me. And he called down fire upon them. Do you remember that? And he burned up 50 men. So they sent another 50. And the Lord, and he called fire upon those guys, and another 50 got. Do you remember that story? The last one that they sent, the captain or the lieutenant, I'm not sure, the captain of comes crawling up to Elijah, and he says, please don't kill us. Just come with us. And he went with them. Isn't that crazy? Elijah had this, Elisha, feed them. The Bible says that Elisha had a double portion. Do you know what I believe the double portion was? I think it was love. I believe that Elisha said, feed these guys. Feed these guys. So I'm going to talk to you about how do you feed your enemy. How do you treat your enemy? Let's look at Proverbs 24, verse 17. Moving the enemy. How are you going to move the enemy? Proverbs 24. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. I want you to just think about that just a minute. Is there anybody that has hurt you or something? And then you heard something about, I'm going to say something to you. I said, did you feel good about them being hurt? You know what, folks? Come on. God is talking to us here this morning. Sometimes it feels good because they didn't make it. They didn't get it. They lost something or what? You know what? Sometimes, and you know what? God says, don't you dare do that. Can you put up the next verse after that? It says this. Not that one, but I think it's Proverbs 24:18. Lest the Lord see it and it displease him. Do you see that? How many say, yeah, I've done that before? Folks, I've done that before. I've gotten to that point where somebody that's bothered me, something happens, and I say, man, it got a little, yeah, that's all right. Glad. I want to say the Lord sees those kind of things. He sees the attitude of our heart. Is that love? No. That's not love. So I'm talking to you this morning. Those that don't know God, treat them good. Even when it's not, yeah, they've hurt you, treat them good. Amen. Let's look at the next one. Proverbs 25, verse 21 says this. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Is that right? What's the key word in there? Give. Give to your enemy. Or give to that person that doesn't know Jesus. Is that okay? Come on, man. Proverbs 25, verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Same scripture. I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God says that by two or three witnesses shall everything be established. And I'm going to tell you something. He's establishing something for you here today. You're going to hear it today. He says to give them. When they're hungry, when they have a need, give it to them. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. You can look. You can smile and say, yeah, cool, man. Because that's the way you win. You know what? Because we are overcomers. Do you know that we are? The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Do you know that? What does a more than a conqueror look like? It's someone when they got an enemy that's facing them, they're being nice to them. That's what more than a conqueror looks like. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, did I do this three times? For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. So is this a revenge type of thing? Is this the coals of fire that you're placing? Oh, you know, I'm going to do good to him so that God will put coals of fire on him, man. You know what that is? Coals of fire. Let me tell you something. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will speak to them because of your good works that you do toward them. Is that right? Hallelujah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Be nice. You know, did your mom used to tell you that? Be nice. Come on, just be nice. Come on. God's saying it this morning. Just be nice. Be people of God. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew, this is our power verse this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Who's speaking this? Jesus is saying this to you. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do we do that? He says to love your enemies. You know, somebody said something to me the other day. He goes, they said, I got to love them, but I don't got to like them. Has anybody ever heard that before? I've got to love them, but I don't have to like them. Let me tell you something. That part is you speaking and not God. Because the Word of God says it and says it again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, I'm going to tell you something. We can talk about all the different kinds of loves that God, we've got eros, we got agape love, we've got all these different kinds of loves, but I'm going to tell you something. What we have is God. Doesn't the Bible tell us that God is love? Hallelujah. So if you're saying something out of your mouth, well, I don't have to like them, but you know, I'm going to tell you something. That's not God, that's you, and you need to get rid of it. Amen? Let it go. Get it off. Hallelujah. Because it's hindering your walk. It's hindering what God is doing in your life. He's trying to raise you up out of the world system and get you into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So that when people look at you, they're going to say, that's a woman of God right there. That's a man of God. They prayed for me one day. Come on, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody? I'm talking to myself. Is that okay? Hallelujah. 1 John 4:8. Oh, that's probably where I got this from. The Word of God says it right here. I said, look. He who does not love does not know God. For sometimes it's important that we look in the mirror. Is that right? How many of you like looking in the mirror? Come on. Raise your hand if you like looking in the mirror. Look at every one of you do it every day. You love it. You look at yourself. You go in the back. Come on, man. How many of you like looking at yourself in the mirror? Ah, nobody's gonna fess up, but I know. I know for a fact that you can't pass a mirror. Amen? Hallelujah.
Just
because
you look at
them,
you like
yourself. No, man. Amen. Liars. Praise God. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. You know what? That's what the Bible says. James tells us that the Word of God is a mirror for us. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We have to be absolute in what we're doing with God. Amen. Is that right? We got to know our position. We got to understand our position. See, Elijah understood his position, didn't he? And he said, open his eyes, Lord. Boom. Happened. Said, Lord, close their eyes. Blind them. Boom. Happened. Hallelujah. We have to know our position. And God is saying, hey man, do you know that I positioned you? And my position is that I have filled you with my spirit. And my spirit is love. Yield to my spirit. Allow my spirit to speak to you. Allow my spirit to speak to those that are outside of it. And you watch what happens. Hallelujah. Folks, the Bible says that it says in Galatians, says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that lives. It's Christ that lives in me. Folks, we got to make it. You know that the Word of God also says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? That's why we have to make sure that we know what God is saying to us. Because, folks, I don't want to be unstable in my ways. I can walk in my ways or I can walk in His ways. And let me tell you, I will push my ways off the side every time. I don't want to walk in. I am dead. Do you get it? I am dead. And folks, how many of you know there's people out there that we've actually shunned in a nice Christian way? Is that right? Come on, man. Come on. Let's be real. Amen? Come on. We have done things that we know, and even the Holy Spirit says, man, you shouldn't have said that. And we say, yeah, well, Lord, they deserved it. No, they didn't. They didn't. You saw them coming, and you turned around and went the other way. Amen? Did we do that? Is that love? Is it love? Ask yourself, am I operating in what God has given me? For God so loved me that he gave his only son. Is that right? So are you operating in love? Hallelujah. Can we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? How many knows what that is? Uh-oh. Now, let me tell you, we're in trouble. When we get into these scriptures, we get in trouble. Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. I had a person that was helping me. With the youth up at First Assembly. And one day, I told him, hey, I want these scriptures typed out. Can we type these out and put them on some? He said, sure, man. He goes, read it to me, and I'll read it. And I'll type it. So I began to read to him, and it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and as I read these to him, he goes, hold on. He goes, man, I'm getting convicted because of these scriptures. Now, how many of you know that's important? Folks, the world needs love. God is love. The world needs Jesus. Amen. So watch this, watch this. Listen to this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. It does not speak. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked and thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. When I want to ask you this morning, would you stand? As often as happens, sometimes while we're speaking about these things, sometimes somebody will come to your mind of how you treated them. Amen? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? God will remind you of how you treated somebody, a friend, a neighbor, another Christian. So what I want to do this morning, I want to call the prayer team up. And what I want to do this morning, I want to ask you, have you been operating in love? Have you been operating in love? Yes, go ahead. The title of the message this morning is Moving the Enemy. Moving. What moves you? What moves you? You ever watched a movie and you were moved by it and you began to weep, began to cry? What moves you? Folks, we are talking, we are in the midst of a crooked nation, a crooked world. How many of you know that? And the world needs us to be who we are. Really. Not judgmental. Oh, you got a tattoo. Sorry. I don't pray for people that have tattoos. Come on, man. Isn't that silly? Oh. You cut lines on the side of your head. So what? Isn't that silly? Can I tell you something, folks? God is after the heart. He's after the heart. He cares about the heart of folks. He cares about our heart. Hallelujah. So what I'd like to do is just place in your mind that you're going to move people by loving them. Elijah moved that army from a war, from a battle zone, what they expect to have a battle zone, or maybe to grab him and arrest him. Elijah moved them from that mindset to eating and drinking in the middle of their enemy's city where they could have been killed, and then they let them go. That had to move their heart. It moved their attitude, because the Word of God says that they never came back. They never went to attack them. Israel had peace because of that. Because God had used that one small event to move the hearts of the people. What does it take to move somebody that doesn't know Jesus? What does it take? It takes grace. And grace comes from God. And grace has been placed into our hearts. So what I want to do this morning, if you've ever offended somebody and hurt somebody, that God reminded you this morning, I want to invite you to come on up and allow folks to pray just for a cleansing and a clearing, just so you can say, Lord, forgive me, Lord.